Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey, Patrick, you know how on late night talk shows, they would always have a guest who they could count on to just bring it? You know, like Steve Martin or Tom Hanks or Norm Macdonald?
Yeah, I think I know what you mean.
So who is that money guest for us?
For what it's worth, I'd say Murray Valeriano.
Okay, Patrick, we had this guy on not too long ago,
yeah,
a little while ago, and despite that, we're having him back. So it's it's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us on today's episode is Murray Valeriano out there in California, which just sounds beautiful, by the way, California.
Oh, am I saying hello right now? I'm sorry.
Say hello, Murray.
Oh, hey, yes. It is beautiful out here in California. Thank you.
And Murray is a stand-up comic and a comedy writer, and he has this music quiz show on YouTube called For What It's Worth, and we talked about that the first season a while back, and now it's season two, so we'll let him fill us in on that in a bit. And he's also going to make a perfect pop pick, but before we get to all that, I want to get back to how was the surfing today?
that's what I really came here for.
Yeah.
Surfer for
humongous waves.
We just last week we had a really big swell, which was awesome. It was about a 8-foot swell, so that was exciting.
Wow.
It lasted for about 4 days, so it was a good time. And now it's back to about 2 to 3 feet.
Do you go every day, every morning?
Yeah, I try to. You know, it's the one blessing of COVID is it's wiped me out of stand-up and performing, so I'm in town. I've been in town basically almost every day for the last year and a half.
Yeah.
So I've been able, you know, once my kids started going back to school, I've been able to just drop them off, hit the beach for an hour, hour and a half, then come home and get things done.
Hmm. That's so cool.
Nice.
You know, what people do out here on the East Coast, Patrick, we're in a fairly active, fit community. In fact, I think Washington, D.C. is, I think on those rankings that come out every so often, is like one of the top most fit cities, right, in the country. So you see lots of people out running, cycling, what else? Bare knuckle boxing, they do things like this, and I don't know. But they, my point is, you know, you go out for a run like I would do, or go out for a bike ride. But out in California, you go out
surfing.
It's the same kind of thing. Yeah. You just go out and surf for a while. That sounds.
Well, you know, we also have the fortunate of the weather being pretty much good all year round, so you can. They always say you can surf and ski in the same day. I don't know anybody who's ever f***ing done it, but they say it
all the time. Right.
They say it all the time. I've never heard anybody do it.
Because you can see the mountain.
Yeah, you can literally see the mountain when you're in the ocean.
Yeah. Now, tell me real quick. This is a lot of weather and geography talk, but this, this consumes my mind a lot. There's a difference, though. Are you close to the ocean where it's like nice and cool during the summer? Or because if you get to a certain part inland, right, it gets like ungodly hot, doesn't it? Like the valley and all that stuff?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. The valley is usually at the minimum of 10 degrees warmer than where I'm at. I'm about 2 miles from the beach. So,
nice.
Which is a 30-minute drive in Los Angeles.
Right.
So when my wife, who's working on a movie now in the valley, is just, she's like, I'm sweating, it's blistering hot here. And I'm like, oh, well, it's five, so it went down to 65 degrees.
And nice. You got a pennant race out there this year, so that's pretty exciting. You know, as we record this, Dodgers-Giants been battling it back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to have to fill in, Murray. The Dodgers, that's your team in L.A.
Oh, that's okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Murray's not a sports guy. I thought it was the Rams was our team. Am I wrong on that? I thought maybe I read that wrong.
Okay.
Well, the Rams, yeah, look good, too.
I do know they have a new stadium for the Rams.
They do,
And apparently a really nice theater, which I was going to go see Devo on Saturday night.
Oh,
nice.
But I don't want to wear a mask for the whole concert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not anti-mask, and I'm not getting political. I just don't want to go sit for 2 hours.
Totally agree. Yeah, it's very uncomfortable. And I'll tell you, that stadium, now for a little stadium talk, is the first stadium, I think that's kind of the wave of the future, right? They're building theater, restaurants, like everything. Instead of building it in the neighborhood, they're building it all inside the stadium complex, which is pretty cool. So,
well, that makes sense. I know a couple of my friends went. I guess there was a Rams game the other day. A couple of my friends went.
Last weekend.
Yeah. And when I looked and I saw Devo was playing in town, I'm like, what is, I've never even heard of this theater. Right. And then, all right, it's in that complex.
Right, right. So it's pretty smart. Yeah.
And they tore down the old Hollywood Park Casino, the old racetrack. Yeah. The old Hollywood Park racetrack. That's we used to have great Friday night. Devo played there. Ozzo Motley used to play there a lot. Wow. Or used to. Los Lobos. And they tore that down and put up that stadium.
Hmm. Wow. Well, that's the bad part of it. Yeah.
I didn't know Devo was even out there right now. That's pretty cool. That'd be
what got me really excited about it.
Interesting. Okay. Okay, so tell us about For What It's Worth Season 2. Is that out now?
It is. As of this record, the first episode dropped this last Monday. It's you can get it at youtube.com/C/ Marie Valeriano, or you can just hit it on all my at Marie V on Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff. And it's a comedy and music game show. The music nerds come for the trivia in games, but you stay for the comedy. Yep. And honestly, I think the music trivia nerds stay for the comedy because the music trivia isn't that hard. You know, I've written a few game shows for TV, and there's a line that you write for to make it interesting for the contestants, but fun and gettable for the viewers.
Right.
So I try to blur that line, which is very difficult.
I imagine it is, yeah.
Patrick, this is why Murray is a professional and we're not.
That is exactly right.
Make it interesting, he said.
Yes.
Make it interesting.
And
I got to think about that.
And we have no idea where the line is.
What line? Right.
I'm not saying mine is interesting. I'm just saying you're supposed to, and I'm working towards it.
Oh, it's fantastic. It goes by fast. I love it, yeah.
That's great. So obviously season one was a success.
Oh, yeah.
Season one was great. Yeah. Season one was real fun. And this is a lot of fun. And I kind of branched out. I got some, I don't normally like to say who's coming up because of my technical inabilities and have ruined shows.
Don't
and
say
made
that.
Them non-airable. I'm sure you guys have never done that.
Oh, no.
But I've got, always have great comedians. I've got rock critics. I got DJs. I got VJs. Musicians lined up. So up now is, if you have any Australian listeners, Will Anderson out of Australia, great comic, big comic down there. And JJ Whitehead out of London. It was an international.
Sweet.
And then Hugh Fink, who is a head writer on Saturday Night Live. They actually did he was just in Rolling Stone this last issue when they were talking about 9/11 because he was on the 9/11 show.
Oh.
So they interview Hugh Fink in that edition of Rolling Stone.
Got it.
Yeah. So anyway, first off, let me close this up. So people, it's called For What It's Worth. I think if you even just go to YouTube and search for What It's Worth or search for What It's Worth Murray or something like that, you'll find it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And once you get there, then you're hooked. And
you're done.
You're going to watch all of them.
It's great.
Yeah. No, so absolutely. Guys.
It's really fun and it's a good time. But since we infrequently talk with people from the comedy world, and we always are, you know, when somebody famous passes and we talk about it, it tends to be a big musician, but I think we should really do a rest in power to Norm Macdonald, don't you think?
Yeah, for sure.
Any thoughts, Murray, from the comics perspective on Norm?
Well, I'll say this, I said this on the social media, it's the only thing I commented about, because I didn't know Norm, but I don't know a comic that didn't respect him. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah.
The guy had a unique point of view, a unique delivery. And he had to know, you know, he got fired from SNL because he wouldn't back down from jokes about OJ. And Olmeyer was OJ's his best friend. I mean, it's legendary. So, and the guy wouldn't back down. And that's really what good comedy is. Unique perspective, funny, and balls, you know?
Yeah, wow. Well said.
And I will say this. My only connection to Norm Macdonald was when I thought I was coming back to doing stand-up 3 months ago when I thought we were all starting up and I've only really done three spots. It was I was going over my old set and I had a joke about acid. I used to do acid in high school. And I remember somebody saying, hey, I think Norm has a bit about that. So I Googled it and it was actually his last Letterman episode. And the first half is almost word for word. So I had to retire it.
Oh, no. Really?
Wow. But I thought, if Norm was doing it, at least I'm on the same writing level.
Yeah, that's right.
And I've had people say, no, because he died, does it mean I can do it? No, I can't. Norm got it first. It's Norm's. I can't.
Yeah.
It's just kind of the creed and stand-up.
Isn't it weird when people have simultaneous observations or ideas totally separately without influencing each other. I mean, you find it all the time in music history, right, Jim? Where you're like,
yeah,
they were doing that too at the same time, like on a completely different country or something. Like, I always think that's so interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a weird, it's a weird argument with parallel thinking in comedy.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you got, because I'll see comics that, you know, at the risk of sounding snotty or obnoxious, like you've never heard of,
right,
being like, just saw Ellen DeGeneres do my joke. When was Ellen DeGeneres at your one-nighter in Knoxville that she would have saw your joke? It's called parallel thinking. She did That's it on TV first. She wins.
Right. You know? Exactly. Yeah.
So, but there is parallel thinking, but thievery is a big no-no in
stand-up. Absolutely. So, yeah.
Understood.
Yeah. I tend to, if it's something's really super similar to somebody that I come, I tend to drop it. But also if you write, and I know this isn't a stand-up class, but if you write personal stuff and from your own life, then you avoid a lot of that.
Yeah. Right. Very true. Right. Very true. Yeah.
Right. Which is what, it's funny you say that, because what we tell people who come on our show all the time is not, you know, friends of ours or listeners or whatever, and they come on the show and they're always like, I'm afraid to be on because I don't know that much about music. I'm not a huge expert or whatever. And we just say, talk about your life. Just talk about your own experiences. Yeah. Just talk about what you liked or what you grew up with or what you listened to. You know what I mean? Nobody else owns that. You own that totally yourself. You're an expert. For most people are an expert on their own lives. Some people like me, I've forgotten more than I remember, but that's another story. But anyway.
That happens. Yeah, yeah. I think that's what the great thing about podcasting, and I've been podcasting for over 11 years now. It's really the stuff you're not gonna, you know, whether it's somebody you've heard of or whether it's somebody you've not heard of, whether it's a famous person or not famous person, you're gonna get stories that in personal stories that you're not gonna hear on the late night talk shows or on radio, or you know, you're gonna get that personal side, which I think is a really, really great thing about podcasting.
Yeah. All right. How's the asparagus?
I should go get that.
All right, go do that.
Thank you. All right. I was waiting for the segue. I'll be right back.
Yeah, Jim's always watching the clock there. It's good.
I just figured we didn't want to be interrupted when we do the perfect pop. So
Murray's like such a good looking guy, man. Of course you go surfing every morning. You can pull that jean jacket off. Yeah.
Right. Perfect timing.
All right.
Oh, good. Sweet.
Check it out.
Yep. It's all good.
Everybody's all right. Pee will be smelling tomorrow. It's great.
All right. Okay. All right. So Murray had to leave for a moment there to get the asparagus out of the oven.
It's good. And the tofu is great also. Just in case you weren't convinced I lived in California.
Nice.
Yes, I'm making tofu and asparagus.
Yeah, you're vegetarian, right?
Yeah.
I was for quite a few years, and I actually lapsed during the pandemic. I don't know what it was about being at home. And,
dude,
there's
no judging during the pandemic.
Yeah.
No.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's either people have boost it up and I don't blame them, or change their, you know, I stayed away from booze during the pandemic just because I knew I'd have to homeschool my kid, and I love scotch, and I know after three or four scotches in the evening doing new math is not going to be what I want to wake up to.
And then the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor.
Exactly.
The Germans. He's on a roll. Let Dad go. He's on a roll.
Yeah, that's it. Right.
Okay. All right. Let's get to perfect pop here. So we do this from time to time. People just talk about a song. It doesn't have to be their favorite song in the whole world or anything like that, but just a song that they really like and they think is perfectly done. And we've made picks. Patrick and I have made picks. Various listeners have made picks. We've had musicians on as guests who have made picks, and that's pretty much it. So we thought Murray might like to make a perfect pop pick.
I
so
can't
what
wait
you got Murray yeah
oh do you not know Patrick but to me like a pop song, I was thinking about this today, is like it's got to be bouncy,
okay,
and it's just got to evoke joy.
Okay. Yep.
It could be a depressing subject. It could be a horrible subject, which is actually the song I picked is about a depressing subject, but it's got to, I think, evoke joy and not any other emotion. And I picked what I used to call, and I've put an asterisk, but I used to call the best song of the 90s, the best pop song in the 90s, which is Hey Jealousy by the Gin Blossoms.
Wow. That's very interesting.
Since then, I don't say it's the best song of the 90s anymore, but I'll say it's maybe the best song of 90s mm-hmm. from an American band. Again, I'm sure some of your listeners will be really mad at me for saying that, but yeah, I like it a lot, and it just got tons of radio play. It never gets old. It's got a good hook. It's about a depressing subject of alcoholism, but that's like we said earlier, make alcoholism bouncy and fun, and you've got a good pop song. Tell me, do you think it'd be all right if I could just crash here tonight? You can see I'm in no shape for driving, and anyway, I've got no place to go. Yet you know it might not be that bad. You were the best I'd ever had.
All right, there you go. Hey, Jealousy, the Gin Blossoms, 1992. Now, I always, always, always loved that song.
Oh,
that,
great.
To me,
good.
Was just a great, that was just to me one of those just kind of gems of a song that just kind of burst through out of nowhere. And how could you not like it, right?
100% agree. I remember when it came out, I was waiting tables at a restaurant, and me and this girl, we just talked about this song every day, every shift. It was just like we would sing that song to each other. It was great. And for a guy who grew up in the suburbs, and I like to think rocked him a couple times, Christian rocked him, if you know my history. What do you want to do? Let's go get chased by the cops.
That's right. Just like, drive around this town.
We're just going to drive around. And then before we drove, what are we going to do? Let's just sneak out at night and piss off the police and let them chase us around because we're bored because it's the suburbs. You know, and just let's drive around this and let the cops chase us around, man. Just a perfect, just a perfect youth of suburbia.
And I'll tell you too, Murray, it's such a fantastic choice. And like you said about it being on the radio all the time, that song, I think even around here in DC where, you know, there was a dearth of, you know, sort of really intense radio, but still you heard it every day if you listen to, you know, alternative station or even the classic rock station. So it kind of crossed over those boundaries and it's got that, you know, that special something about a song, you know, that puts it right up there in that perfect pop category, Jim. I love it. I think it's a great choice, man.
I thought for sure. I thought Patrick wasn't going to it. And I'm only judging you, Patrick, off the 1.5 times we've actually communicated. So.
I'm a sucker for a lot of weird stuff. I really like that song. I really do. And I'll tell you too, Jim, and everyone who listens to this podcast, it does remind me a little bit of Tommy Keane. And I'm not sure where those two things crossed over, but I was probably listening to Tommy Keane, you know, started around the same time I heard this song. And he was a guy, Murray, you know, kind of a lost legend from DC who wrote some gorgeous. I mean, if you love this song, go find Tommy Keane because you will really
just wrote
him
down. Yeah. Because I'm not familiar with him.
You
will,
really great power pop kind of stuff.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
you will fall in love with Tommy Keane if you love this song. So
wow. What's he got, like 12 albums or something like that?
Yeah. He was one of those guys that should have been huge, but just for timing and all that, never made it. But reminds me of that same kind of aching, beautiful loneliness. Yeah. So
you're right.
I love it.
And it's great, too. Murray, I like the way you pointed out that it's one of the things we love are songs that sound happy when you first hear them.
There it is.
But are actually kind of sad after you listen to them a few more times, right?
Bellissimo.
Yeah.
not to make myself sound artsy fartsy more than I want to, but I mean, if you think about it, that's really what comedy is. You know what I mean? It's humor in you know, masking sadness and if you ask my wife, depression, and loneliness or whatever. You know, I really do like them. And it is. I mean, the whole I'm sure you all know, the whole Gin Blossoms story is very sad.
It is.
Well,
particular, and And I was reading up on, when I was reading up on it on my, on the line to the bank today, where I did wear a mask.
Thank you.
Just not at the, I just don't want to go to a concert if I have to wear one. You know, I didn't realize that all the original lit, like they were, I know what a gin blossom is. I know where they got the name, but I didn't put two and two together with the guitarist and songwriter's alcoholism and the songs about drinking and how Robin insisted to change the song from drinking to thinking. And it just, I was like, oh, right, of course, that makes so much sense. I just never put two and two together.
You know, and it's interesting. Sorry, Jim, I'll just say really quick. It's interesting to hear that too, Murray, because when there's a huge hit single like this, relatively huge, right? I mean, I don't know where it went on Billboard or anything like that. Doesn't matter.
I think it went to like 24.
Wow, that's pretty damn great. Yeah, it was a top 40 hit. Then you're going to have people that listen to the whole record, right? And then that's when the band starts to become something more than just that one band you heard on the radio, or maybe that's their entryway. So I think that's so interesting to think about that with the Gin Blossoms. And yeah, you know, a classic American band with a tragic end. I mean, you know, it's just one of those rock and roll tales. And, you know, I think for a lot of us, there were a lot of songs that in the 90s where we just knew them as singles and didn't really, you know much more about it. But this is a band with a lot of substance.
Yeah. It's funny you say that. I was kind of just looking over Billboard's top 100 of like 91, of 92, of 90. It's all over the map.
Right.
It is all from PM Dawn to Gin Blossoms to Arrested Development.
It's funny because Jim,
all over the place.
Yeah, Jim just sent a really interesting link. I just saw it right before we started recording. What was it, Jim? Spin Magazine.
It was like 30 bands that are like not Nirvana that were popular released albums in 1991.
Yeah.
And it was so diverse,
it's
wasn't
very
it?
Diverse.
It was like
yeah,
so
just
diverse.
What Murray was saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, that's the thing about history is people, you know, remember. You know, history would be written to say like, well, 1991, that was Pearl Jam and Nirvana, right? Mm-hmm. But there was so much other things going on. And this song was 92, but it's
got
brings
that
me to
same
my point.
Blend, yeah.
It brings my point that this came out at a time when still it was kind of like that grunge and alternative and, you know, Sonic Youth was you know, breaking through as a major label artist and the Meat Puppets and like all these bands, but they all kind of played like in minor key kind of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And here was this like I said, bouncy, major key kind of song. There was more depth to it than just that, but still, it kind of shot through the radio speakers, and you were like, "Wow, that's really interesting."
I think I at the risk of sound again of sounding too deep, I think we kind of needed that, especially for me when I was listening to the Seattle scene and you know, and getting all those great 80s bands that were left of the dial were start getting their due. And so everybody, the anti-rock star thing was happening and all that. So it was great just to get a good bouncy, fun song. Again, fun being the audible version, not the deferred.
And so I'll just really briefly say, since we've kind of walked around the edges on this, right? So if it's a perfect pop song, we should give credit to the songwriter who was Doug Hopkins in the Gin Blossoms.
Right.
But it was kind of sad because he was troubled and he ended up getting fired from the band, and the band then had greater success with a lot of his songs, and he ended up committing suicide.
Right.
So it is a very sad story. But as we always like to say, the music lives on, and that's the legacy.
Absolutely.
And I think this is a song that you could put this in front of a, like my 21-year-old daughter, I could put this in front of her today, and she'd be like, "Yeah, that's a fun song."
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I think it holds up really well.
Well, for sure.
Absolutely, it's a great pick, and Murray, it's great to have this song added to our perfect pop playlist.
Yeah.
So we have a perfect pop playlist.
I heard about
that, which is amazing. And this is, I mean, I swear, Jim, you can put that thing on shuffle any time of the day or night, and it'll feel good to you. It really will.
That's right.
Yeah, it's really, really
That's
good.
Right.
And this is
absolutely
a great addition. Thank you, Murray, so much.
Oh, absolutely. Can I tell you the quick story about when I saw Gin Blossoms?
Yes.
Yeah, bring it on.
Okay. Well, I met Robin once. All right. But I saw the Gin Blossoms open for REM on the Monster Tour.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
That's a good show.
But it was
a
weird... It was a good... Well, it gets better because it was also Luscious Jackson.
I remember that.
And the aforementioned Meat Puppets.
What?
So it was like a three opening act to REM.
Wow.
And Gin Blossoms came out, and Robin comes out and goes, We're the Gin Blossoms. We're going to play our five songs, get our $5,000, and get the fuck out of here. Plays their songs, leave. Cut to, I don't know, literally a month before the pandemic, my buddy runs a late night talk show live at the Improv here on Melrose in Hollywood. And he had Robin and I guess, I don't know if it was his name, Louis Velez or something, like the guitar player.
Okay.
I forget his name, who might still be in the band. I don't know if he's still in the band. They came and played. And played Hey Jealousy and another song, which was really cool. And so at the bar, I opened and introduced myself to Robin, and I knew they were touring. We were planning on touring with Collective Soul, and I wanted to check that out. And we got to talk, and I'm like, "Yeah, I saw you guys once on the Monster Tour for REM." And he goes, "Oh, I remember that show." So I'm like, "Oh, they only played once." So I'm waiting for the details, and he never said anything. That's all he said. He's like, "I remember that show," and I really just want to go, "Why? Why did you yell at the audience? I want to know." But he, I didn't think it was appropriate timing.
That's really great.
But don't let that little outburst on stage hinder you from this song.
Not at
That's
all.
Right. No.
Some of the best have their outbursts on stage.
There it is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think REM never had a great experience opening for the Police either.
No, that was bad for them. Yep.
Terrible. There you go.
Was that bad? That's still in my born again Christian days. So I don't know that story. What happened?
It's funny. I'll just tell you real quickly. It's funny. Okay. We actually got this story when we interviewed Tommy Keane.
Interesting.
How funny this comes around. Who was a friend of REM, I guess, and he was hanging out with them backstage at one of the shows where they were opening for the Police, he had some conversation backstage with Sting. Tommy did. Mm-hmm. And Peter Buck was like, what the hell just happened there? We've been on tour with these guys. That guy's never talked to me once. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
All right. So if people like music trivia and you like comedy and, you know.
And music games.
Yeah.
I mean, and games, music trivia is really true. just a small part of it. There, I come up with different games. Last season I had players come up with band writers, funny band writers that would be with bands. I've had this year I did introduce a band into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame, but tell us why they should is one. So there's just a bunch of varied games that I try to come up with. I try not to repeat the game a season, but I try to come up with different games every episode.
All right. So it's season two of For What It's Worth. Go check it out on YouTube.
You got to check it out, folks.
How many episodes in a season?
When does this? 10. It should be 10, although I've already had audio technic problems on one, so it might be 9. I'm telling you, it's just me and the guy who runs the Zoom room and helps me edit is about an hour and a half south. Mm. So we're never in the same room. So I've got to be host, writer, producer, sound, lighting. I'm gonna miss something. As a matter of fact, I did 3 episodes with the plastic still on the lens of my new camera.
Let's go with maybe 8, folks.
Also, I got to tell you Patrick. That's great. I got to tell you this, Patrick. After what I'm sure will be the huge success of Suburbs Fest,
of course,
this October,
it's already legendary.
And then we're going to do Suburbs Fest 2. We're aiming for next summer, so it would be more convenient for people to travel. But Murray has already volunteered to curate the comedy night.
Oh yeah,
that's going to take without place at Suburbs Fest 2. Right.
So absolutely.
And you know where
If you don't have a budget to fly me out there, I'll get you some East Coast guys.
Yeah. And well, interesting you say that. It's Suburbs Pod Fest 2 live at Budokan. So
is that what it is? All right. Thanks very much, Murray Valeriano.
Thank you, Mary.
For being on our show.
Thank you. I'd love to come back anytime you guys will have me. I don't even have to promote my own stuff. I really enjoy your show, and I enjoy your your guys' observations on music.
Anytime you're bored, just call us up. We'll put you on.
Yeah, that's right.
Can I come on and talk about you too again?
Yeah.
Again?
Yes.
Again?
Yeah.
Again? Again?
Keep coming on.
Just tap the Zoom button. We'll answer, and we'll just hit record, right? Yeah.
That was great. Thank you guys very much.
Or we'll have you on again when you produce another 10 episodes.
There you go.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Okay, now, let's get out of here. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim
Lenahan. Patrick Foster.
And with us has been
Murray Valeriano.
Thank you, Murray.
We'll talk to you all later.
Thank you, guys. I was telling Jim I'm going to have to step down in 10 minutes and take the asparagus out of the oven, Patrick.
That's fine. That's very rock in the suburbs.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.